want to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter today. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. And Jesus is teaching a parable, Matthew 13, 3 through 9, passage that I want to share with you today. And give you a little bit of time to turn there. It's going to be up on the overhead. If you don't have your Bible, you can read it, but I encourage you to bring your Bible if you can. You need your sword. Amen. We sharpen swords here. Amen. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 3. And he spoke many parables unto he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. That means a planter went forth to cast seed. And when he sowed or threw the seed, some seeds fell by the wayside, by the path that most people walked on. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places. They had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, but because they had no depthness of earth, when the sun was come up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8 says, but others fell into good ground. It just didn't fall on good ground, but fell into good ground. And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. You know, Jesus says in verse 9, who hath ears to hear? That means every one of us. Let him hear. It's your hearing that really matters in this parable. The word was a seed. Jesus explains it just a little bit later. How when the seed is casted, there's some people just do not receive the word. They don't get it. Four different types of soil here. There was the one on the pathway. Some seeds just fall, you know, just along in a life that just don't want to receive it. They hear it, but they just don't get it. They don't have a good place to grasp it. The Bible says the birds come and they'll eat it, they'll devour it. Then there's the rocky ground, the person that, you know, they get it, they have a shallow hearing, a shallow reception. And plant springs up, but because it's so shallow, it can't grow anymore because it has no root in it. Then another one is the thorns. Those that are so full of things, distractions, and different, they're so busy in life that God is not on their priority list. The Bible says all these busy things grow up, choke the seed, and the seed dies. But then there's good ground. The good ground is where the seed fell on, and it produced a great harvest. I want to have a good reception today for God. I want to get what God has for me. I want to grasp it. How about you? Amen. I want you today to put your Bibles down with me. And we're not going to pray for the Word. The Word is already anointed. But we're going to pray for us, that God would help us to get a hold of what His Spirit's going to say to us today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask you to touch me today. Lord, help me to get a hold, to grasp. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your grace. And I thank you for your goodness today, Jesus. I love you because of who you are, for what you've done for me. I praise your beautiful name. Help me to get up what you're trying to say and receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Today the Lord gave me just a little insight to this, and I've read this, I've studied this, but just bear with me just a moment when I say it's all in your embrace, what you do with the Word of God. How you embrace the Word of God and the measures of God's grace, what do you do with it? Do you let the grace of God just drain right off of you, kind of like water on a duck's back? Or do you get the grace of God with appreciation and absorb it, get a hold of it, and begin to say, God, I treasure every moment and every portion of your grace. And It all depends on you. Isn't it amazing in a crowd of people, there are different types of people, different types of hearers, different types of soils. And the seed goes forth. The preaching of the Word of God can go forth. And there are those that are too busy. They got so much in life that they don't have time for God. They're so dedicated to other things that God is somewhere on their list. And then there are those that have such a shallow relationship with God. They want God just for the moment, but the shallowness of their moment and their time with God very quickly passes away. And what they did get from God quickly goes away because they have no root in themselves. And then there's those that come and see off the hardness of their heart and just bounces off of them, kind of like the wayside, like on the path, the seed that fell in a place where everybody trods. Everybody walks right there, and that seed never has a chance to produce because it's not received. But then there's that one that says, I want what it has for me. I want what God has and what God's trying to say to me. How about you today? Where do you fit in this? Amen. I want my heart to receive. I want my heart to be a place, amen, where God could speak and God could minister to my life. It's all in your embrace. Now, your spiritual growth and your fruit depends on how you embrace the Word of God. Just as a sower in this parable scattered seed in various types of soils, the message of the kingdom is offered to anyone. But the outcome hinges on the condition of your heart, the condition of your embrace. Today I want to talk to you, it all depends on your embrace. You can tell somebody that embraces you and hugs you. I'm glad my wife is here today because I like to use object illustrations. And we're going to use an object illustration. Sister C, I need a hug. Man, I love it. Get a double blessing, hug and kiss. Isn't it amazing when God steps in when you need something and God hugs you? Isn't it beautiful when the Lord steps in and gives you that legitimate hug? I love it when I don't have to ask for that. See, I didn't have to ask for that kiss. You just voluntarily gave that. I love when God steps through and he hugs me and he embraces me. Now, Sister C, come back up here. Here we go. I watch people that maybe you haven't seen in a long time, and you're going to catch this. They see somebody, and, you know, it's a nonchalant hug, and this person is excited to see them, and they hug me, and some people's pat on the back is legitimate, but some of them are patting on the back like, hurry up, get this over with. You ever seen that? You'll get where I'm going. And there's something about embrace. There's some people, it's kind of like that little 8-year-old boy that goes to great-grandma's house, and great-grandma, great-grandma's kind of old fogey. Oh, that little 14-year-old who don't realize that grandma's sending him money every month and he don't appreciate things. It's all about him. And mama says, go hug great-grandma. And he goes and hug great-grandma, and it's a quick deal. And he just hugs her because he has to. Think with me today. Many times we come to God and we give God a cheap hug. And we'll pat him on the back, so to speak, and hurry up, get this over with, God. I got to get what you have for me. Give me my money that you've given me. Or give me my gift that you have for me, Grandma. And we want away from that. Folks, today in the house of God, I want to embrace God. I want to give him a real embrace. After all, he has a real embrace for me. Think about this. The sower went forth to sow, the Bible says, and some seeds fell. In other words, there were different types of people in the crowd. And some people Their embrace of the sea was like this. They hugged and let go of it. Then with those that hugged, because they were going to get something. And they got it, but it wasn't a real genuine hug. Now, there's some people that's just good huggers. Uh-huh. You ever had somebody that, I mean, their hug was so wonderful. And there's been needed times that in my life that I needed something, and somebody walks up to me and hugs me just right. And how wonderful and effective that was for that very moment in my life. And I want that to be the type of hug I give Jesus Christ and His Word when He speaks. I don't want to embrace this and just quickly drop it, or it be something that I just quickly do. But I want my embrace to have a meaning behind it, that I get a hold of what He's trying to say. Amen. It's all in your embrace, the spirit and the attitude that you have behind it. Some people come to God because they want God to bail them out. Kind of like the people in the jail. They get that one phone call. I hear it all the time. And they'll call grandma. They cussing grandma out all the time. But when they're in a bind, they want grandma to help them out. Or it's like all these guys. They got all these girlfriends, you know, and they're bragging. They show me all the pictures of their girls. This is my lady right here. But their lady's never come to see them. Their lady has never came to visit. She don't put money on his books. I mean, she's just a picture to him. I'm glad that my God shows up. My God's there for me. My God has been with me all of my life. My God has kept me. And God has kept me from things. And God has protected me. And He sure snatched me out of some things. How about you today? Have you been snatched out of some things in your life by the grace and the goodness of God? So you better believe today. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to grasp. I want to embrace what God has. You see, an anchor is a very good instrument in a ship. And that anchor will hold and help that ship, the drag of everything against the current, even the winds and all the storms of life. But you can't see the anchor working when it works. It's below the storm and below the surface. But can I tell you, the anchor will not work if it's not attached to the ship. Amen. You could throw your anchor out, but if it's not tied to you, amen, what good is it? I want to tell somebody today, I want to attach the anchor to my life. I need Jesus. I want to keep Jesus near me. Jesus is not just my go-to. Jesus, again, is not just my spare tire. And Jesus is just not my emergency, just in case situation. He's my everything. He pilots this ship. He's the great shepherd of my life. He's the one that takes care of me. But also, He's the lover of my soul. So the parable here is talking about those that embrace, those that have sobriety and sincerity and a love for God and a grace in their heart. They're grateful for the grace of the Lord. They get a hold of what God's trying to say to them. And in your life, when the Lord speaks to you, the voice of God, even when it is a warning from God, a warning from God is a compliment. It's not an insult when God has to correct you. It's not God just trying to muscle you and control you. But it's a compliment from heaven when God gets a hold of your heart and you feel God working on you. When God steps on your toes, so to speak, you ought to be grateful that God cares enough to give you a warning. But there are some people, they like to play Mount Rushmore. They'll fold their arms. And they'll give you that stone face and they start getting mad. They'll pucker their lips and they don't want it. They're that stone heart where they say, it's just too hard. God, they get angry at God because, hey, I want to tell you, the Lord would never leave you nor forsake you. God has goodness for you. Even through the trial of life, even through the hardship of life, I got a God that will lead me through. What He leads you to, He'll lead you through. You can get in your brain and in your heart that when God brings you to a valley, that valley is a transitional place for a next mountain. Brother Merle Ewing used to sing a song, "We're not in the valley, we're just changing mountaintops." I'm thankful that God has a height for us, a victory for us in our spiritual relationship. I got to grasp this. I got to embrace this. Even times where things start happening, a seed has to go through what the Bible says, a death. That seed has to die. And underneath that soil, it is buried. But God is the one that germinates that seed. A lot of times you hear preaching, you think, "Oh, well, I'll receive that. Oh, God, when are you going to give me my promise that you gave to me?" And we put it in our hearts. Hang on, friend. God can still germinate that promise that he gave you. It takes that heart being prepared, that life saying, "God, you're still the promise keeper. You're still in control. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You still have that promise for me." Hang on to what God's given you. Get a hold of it. Embrace it, but don't be that quick embrace where you just let it go tomorrow. Man, we were so accustomed to drive-thrus that we almost want to make a drive-through church. Where we just drive through and get what we need and head our way. But I want to tell you, God is looking for somebody to learn to just walk with him and abide in him. Somebody just to say, "Lord, I'm not going to leave you in the church." Amen. If you want religion, you'll just get religion. But if you want God, God will be with you. God will stick with you. God will help you. God will hold you. But you got to get a hold of him. I heard a preacher just reach the other day said, there's a lot of religious junkies. They go to church. And they get something in the building, that's all they got. On Monday morning, they have nothing to help them. On Tuesday morning, nothing to help them. I'm going to tell you, you come to the house of God, God ministers, God works. But a lot of times, even the battle's not in here, the battle's out there. And if you have nothing that you gain and grasp from the Spirit of God, you'll have nothing to help you battle what you have faced out there. I need the Word of God. That's why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We got to come to church. We got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching that he saves. Man, how crazy it is. I had the most foolish job on the face of the planet. If it's the most foolish thing, being a preacher, a pastor. Foolish to the ideology of the world. But I wouldn't stoop to be the president of the United States of America or the vice president. Amen. I'm glad for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thankful for the privilege to stand up for God and bring the Word of God. I want to embrace. I want to get a hold of what God has for me. Amen. I love the scripture said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. When it's shut up and embraced in your bones, it'll keep you. It'll help you. Amen. When everybody else is dropping out, amen, you're still standing for God. When everybody else is bowing, you're still living for God. When you're walking in life, amen, everything seems to fall before you and fall apart. You still have a hold and an embrace on God. Praise God. I want to get this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit of the Lord is saying today, I want you to get a hold of me. But I want you to do more than just touch me. God has more than just a touch for you. I love the touch of the Holy Ghost. I love when we feel the touch of God. Woo, but I love it in the middle of my life to feel the flow of God. There's some people, they got the bucket mentality. They come and get their bucket full, and they walk through life with their canteen or their bucket. Amen, that bucket's going to run out. But when you get the well and the rivers of living water in your life, amen, there's a constant flow. There's rivers that keep flowing in your life. I'd rather have the constant flow than to have an old bucket. Amen, the Bible teaches about those that dug them out cisterns. You know what a cistern is? That's not married to a brethren. The old word cistern, for those that are young Any of you young people know what a cistern is? Ashley, you know what a cistern is? Okay. It'd be like a pond. That they dig a pond and it holds water for a little bit. But y'all know if it gets hot like it did in August and end of July, that starts dropping out. And the Bible says they dug them cisterns. But the problem was those cisterns were leaky cisterns. And all the water drained out. That's what they chose instead of the well of living waters. Instead of having the flow of God, they were more content with having a temporary thing or just something that wasn't flowing all the time. A cistern can get stagnant and stale. Oh, we went by a pond not too long ago, and it was all, I mean, it was stinking looking. I mean, it was green. And you think, oh, man, I don't want to drink from that. I don't want to drink, but I love to drink from the pure water system. I love that flow of God. You wouldn't want to bathe. Armin, you wouldn't want to bathe in that old green pond, wouldn't you? Had to kick the frogs out of the way. Kind of like baptizing in Honduras. We baptized in Honduras when we came out of the water. Brother Shrekash came out of the water. All on his legs were some kind of like little leeches. Man, I don't want that. I don't want that in my water. I don't want all the green stuff. I don't want all the things that live in the green stuff. I want the pure well of the Holy Ghost flowing in my life. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to keep that flow. I want to keep that waters flowing in my life of God. I want that relationship with God. That's what the whole scripture is talking about here. We need to attach to God and have a union with God. If we're not united with God, what good is going to church? What good saying that you're a Christian? Going to church don't make you a Christian. Like going to McDonald's don't make you a Happy Meal. I say it all the time. Amen. You're not a Happy Meal. You're a child of the King. I go to church because, amen, I come here today because of Him, to celebrate what He's done for me, to worship Him, and to have an ear to hear what His Spirit is trying to say to me. Amen. Son of God in this place. Amen. Are you the one that when you come to the house of God, you come and you don't grasp what He's saying, and you have to come here and it's like you have to chisel every moment of the stone in your heart, amen, to try to get something from God? Or you come here today saying, God, I want what you have. I walked in this place because I need you. I need your grace. I need your power. But I need you to abide in me. I want my roots, amen, to grasp a hold and be put out. The seed that went on shallow ground, it can really produce because its roots were inhibited by shallowness and the hardness of the soil. Tumbleweeds in West Texas. Anybody seen a tumbleweed before? Let me see your hand. Anybody never seen a tumbleweed? Let me see your hand. Man, three girls on the front row have not seen a tumbleweed. You ever seen a tumbleweed? We lived in West Texas. There's tumbleweeds out there. No reason why a tumbleweed is a tumbleweed. Because its roots are very small. And the ground out in West Texas is baked hot. And it doesn't offer much for that the root system to penetrate down. So those tumbleweeds, they grow and they become in the springtime, they become a big old bush. But when it becomes scorching hot at the end of July and August, like it just happened in West Texas, the first good wind that comes along, it pushes that tumbleweed and it bends. And its root system let go. And it begins to tumble like a big old snowball across the open plains out there in West Texas. It's crazy. One day we seen some things on I-20. We was headed towards Midland, Texas. Brother Jeff, we're sandwiched in between Big Spring and Midland. You know where he's been there many times. And across I-20, we seen some things moving. And it was big, gigantic tumbleweed. Yes. Rolling across the highway. And, friend, I don't want a tumbleweed relationship with God that it's here one day and it's gone. I want something that'll keep me, and I want to keep it. I want to nourish that relationship with God. I want God to really matter in my heart. Brother Coon, God has brought me a long ways, and I don't want to shortchange him today. I want God to have that growing power in my life that I become something for him. Hear what the Spirit is saying today. How about your hug? What about your grasp? Is it kind of like that 13-year-old that goes to grandma? I mean, they're patting grandma on the back. It's like, hurry up, grandma, get this over with. Or is that one that gets a hold and realizes, without grandma, you couldn't have made it this month. Without the love of God, I couldn't have made it where I'm at right now. Without the goodness of God, I wouldn't even be here today. Amen. It's his goodness that has pursued me. It was his grace that kept on after me. Amen. All the blessings of God flowed because of him. Amen. I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me. I don't want to bite the hand that leads me. I want the hand of God to have complete liberty in my life, to hold me, to mold me, to make me as he wants today. Amen. What kind of grasp do you have? It's kind of like shaking hands. We taught our young people. Brother Ashton, what's Brother Ashton? Brother Ashton, he was taught how to shake hands. He looks at you in the eyes, and when he shook my hand, he didn't give me a dead fish. But he didn't do this. He didn't just hold my hand. Thank the Lord, man, don't hold another man's hand like that. And when, watch this. Would you shake hands with Sister C? When it's a lady, he knows how to shake her hand. There's something about that grasp, that meaningful handshake. I've been places where somebody, hey, how you doing? And they gave me that old dead fish. Or they shook my hand, hurry up, get over with. Brother Ashton, there's something about a genuine hand. There's something about it whenever you looked at me in the eyes and we greeted each other. Today, I got more than a greeting with God. Amen. I've got a thankfulness in my heart. Amen. I want my hand in the hand, the one that, amen, still moves the water. I want to put my hand in the hand of the one who still controls the sea. I want to put my hand in the hand of the one who is going to be there with me and guide my life. Amen. What kind of grasp do you have? Amen. Do you have a hold on God? Amen. Kind of like the old man said, I want a bulldog grip. Speaking of bulldog, when I was a kid, a neighbor down the road, they had a tire swing. And this boy, they had a bulldog. And I remember Henry and his brother's name, David, but we called him Dabo. Henry and Dabo, they had a bad bulldog. Chavez, they would take that tire swing and swing it. I take it back, it was a rope with a big knot in it. I'm sorry. They would swing that. And that old bulldog would get a hold of that rope and hang from it and swing back and forth with nothing but his jaws and his teeth. And he was about that far off the ground and swinging back and forth. I want a bulldog grip on God. I want this to matter to me. I don't want this just to be something shallow. I want this to be real in my soul. Amen. I think it's appropriate right now for somebody to lift their heart to God. Amen. Somebody to lift their hands to God and say, God, put that in me. Put in me a desire. Put in me a great desire for your glory. Don't let me easily come and easily go, Lord. But let your word matter to me. Let your spirit be something in my life, oh God, that is deeply implanted, deeply rooted. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in this place? I want to ask a question this morning. What does God have to do to get your attention? Sometimes God has to get your attention by something tragic happening. Even churches. I've seen churches get so stale that the only time that God could get their attention is to let a tragedy happen in the church. I don't want that here. I don't want that in my life. I don't want God to have to do something like that to get me over. Sister Button, I don't want something to have to be so drastic that God has to use extremes in order for me to hear what His Spirit is saying and finally say yes to God. I don't want the doctor to have to say, you're eat up with cancer and you only got a month to live. And all of a sudden I get serious about God. I want to be serious about God in the good times and the bad times, the in-between times. I want to be serious about my Savior. Hallelujah. What does God have to do to get your attention? I pray today that it would just be that sweet little voice, that sweet voice of His Spirit that just says, I'm here for you. I would that somebody would get a grip today and a grasp of what God's trying to say to your heart. What does God get from you after all He's done for you? Does God get occasional? Does God get it when you come to church? Have you ever seen that? Man, you ought to be on the platform with me sometime. When you watch people lift their hands and they're looking around. When I was a kid, they said like this, man, why hang on a monkey bar when you're in church? Look like they're hanging on a monkey bar or checking their deodorant out. And when I come to the house of God, I lift my hand because I surrender. I give you honor. We don't do it just to do it. It's not a ritual. It should not be a ritual. We don't clap our hands just to give an applause. I don't get you to clap your hands so I can get me a drink of water up here. I clap my hands to applaud the God of heaven and to celebrate His goodness and His mercy. I lift my voice because of Him, His goodness and grace. Holy is the Lord, my Jesus. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? Are you hearing? The Lord is here today to pull you in His arms. Isn't it amazing, that little grandson of mine? I mean, he's a toddler, and that little dude, he climbs on the table. Not supposed to. He gets on something, and he falls. 15, 16-month-old kid, I mean, boom. And he comes running to Pops. And I pick him up in my arms. And I don't know what my hug does to that baby. But something is absorbed in him that he says, it's all better now. You need the arms of God today. When you come to the arms of God, don't let it go easy. Get a hold of Him. Amen. He's here right now. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to get out of your chair this morning. And I want you to come to this front. The Lord's waiting on you. Amen. The Lord's here today. His arms are stretched. And He's waiting for somebody. Amen. To come and grasp Him and grasp His, what His Spirit's saying. Hallelujah. Come on. Open your heart to the Lord today.
All I wanted to is love you. All I wanna do is worship you. All I wanna do is stay here right at your
feet. Oh, He wants you to embrace Him. Embrace,
as
get a hold
I lift
of Him.
My hands to heaven.
Draw me near you, Jesus.
And your fire fall down on
hold
me.
Hold me close, Lord Jesus.
Rekindle the flame within me.
You shouldn't be ashamed right now to reach to the Lord.
All I want to do is is worship you.
Come on, would you reach to the Lord saying,
all
friend, in this place God has given you the beautiful opportunity to reach to him. You may not deserve him, but he's here to reach you. He's here to touch you. He's here to love you. He's here to give you what you need this morning. Come on, don't push him off. Don't hurt. Don't wish to hurry and get it over with. Come on, enjoy the moment. Bathe in the moment this morning. I need you, Jesus. I need you to hold me. Oh, my life, Lord, help me.
All I want to do is stay here right at your feet.
I need your presence, oh God.
As I lift my hands to heaven,
let your fire fall on me. Somebody needs to adore the Lord and worship him. Come on, let him have heartfelt worship. Let him have your honor. Come on, look what he's done for you. How many times God has helped you and blessed you. You shouldn't be here today. You don't even deserve to be alive today. But his goodness and mercy has led you.
As I lift my hands to heaven,
love you, Jesus. God's not going to force you to come to him. God's not going to force you to move. But God will move when you let him. And you open your heart and open your arms and run to him. He's a God that will meet you halfway. He's a God that will help you. He will embrace you and help you and pick you up out of your deep, dark life, out of your troubles. Let the Holy Ghost right now
rekindle the flame within me, Lord, once again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord that honor. Give the Lord that honor.
Jesus.
Come on, give God that sincere worship this morning.
Falling in love with Jesus.
Love the Lord back. Would you love the Lord back for what he's done for you? God, I want to give you love and honor back.
Ever
you hung there on Calvary, look at Jesus. I want to love you for what you've done.
In his arms, I feel protected.
Oh, in his arms is where you need to be right
in
now.
In his arms, never disconnected.
Put your arms around me. Falling in love with Jesus is the best place.
Falling in love with Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Falling in love.
Have you told the Lord you love him today?
Jesus.
Oh, express that love to him. Lord, I love and appreciate you.
Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done.
Put your arms around the Lord and hold what he said
in his arms. I feel protected in his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no So
Today, I want you to believe the Lord for victory all around in their children, their home. Come on, would you pray and believe the Lord for that total victory in the Holy Ghost? Total victory in the Holy Ghost. Would you lift up the banner of honor to the Lord today? God, we praise you for victory in Earl, God, in Natalie's life, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the power and victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for refilling him with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand. Come on, give the Lord that hand of honor. Thankful that hands of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord today. Praise God. Chavez, how many days has it been? Sober 187 days. How many years, Chavez?
12, 13 years, right?
You know what? When we went to Oklahoma to do a children's crusade, his big brother Dylan, he's not too much bigger than you, but his older brother Dylan, he looked at me and said, Brother Crosswhite, 13 years, every day I was messed up, every day. He said, something rose up inside me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord, Chavez, that those prayers are being answered. Amen. Hallelujah. The prayers. Hallelujah. Church, you ought to lift your hands. Because God's still working. God's still doing it today. Hallelujah. Thank you for your power and your goodness. Hallelujah. Let's sing unto the Lord today. Let's worship the King.
Say the name of Jesus. Say the name.
Say the name.
Of Jesus, say the name. So precious, no other name I know.
Say the name.
Say the name of Jesus.
Ooh, how beautiful
the name.
Just to say that name.
Say the name.
Hallelujah. Would y'all sing it and go into that bridge, that song? Amen. Sing it with the church.
Can calm your fears and dry your tears.
You ought to love the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Saving grace of a mighty God. Amen. If anybody would like that little article I read about the Navy man, I'm just going to set it right up here. If you want it, this copy, you're welcome to it. And if you want a copy of it, just text me and I can send you a PDF of it. But we're so blessed to have you in the house of the Lord, every one of you today in God's house. Amen. Tonight's service, amen, it's 6 o'clock prayer, 6:30 we start our service. We're looking for God to do greater things tonight. Amen. It gets greater and greater, doesn't it? Living for God.